The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Emor. In the Parsha, in Vayikra Chof Gimel, starting with Posuk Tes, there is a series of psukim. In general, the Parsha there is speaking of the Mayadim, the Yom Tevim. And there's a series of psukim, which I would like to read some of them, because they tell us many mitzvahs. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem said to Moshe saying, Daber al bnei Yisrael v'mat alehem. Kisavoy al ha'oretz asher ani nesein lachem. When you come to the land which I'm going to give you, ukshartev es k'tziro, and you will cut that which your grains and have to be cut. Vaveisem es eimer reishis k'tzirchem al ha'kohen. And you should bring a measure of Omer was a particular measure, dry measure. You should bring an Omer of your first cuttings to the Kohen. It should be brought as it was made into a mincha, a meal offering, and it was brought before the Mizbeach. There it was lifted up into all the directions. And when should you do this? It states on the day after Shabbos, but the Gemara Darshans, this is referring to the day after the Yantif of Pesach. The Yantif of Pesach is the first day. Here we keep 2 days Yantif. But in Eretz Yisrael there's 1 day, in HaTorah there's 1 day. Then we have the rest of the series of days. Six of them are Chol HaMoed. Excuse me, five of them are Chol HaMoed. And then the seventh day is Yom Tov again. We add an extra day. So on the day after the first day of Yom Tov, in other words, the first day of Chol HaMoed, this should be done. Actually, they would go out in the evening, immediately, Metzei Yom Tov Rishon, and they would cut the Omer. Then the Torah tells us that together with this you bring various sacrifices. And then the Torah says further in Pasuk Yud Dalet, the lechem v'koli v'charma le'seichlu, you should not eat any of the grains, whether they're ripe, they're still not complete, or whether they are you roast them, it should, or you make bread from them, it should not be eaten ad etzem hayom hazeh, until this day, ad haviyachem is korban elokeichem, until you bring this sacrifice to Hashem, chukas eilim lederiseichem b'chol meishveiseichem usvatim lachem mimachores haShabbos. Now from this day when you bring the Omer, you shall count you shall count 7 weeks. You should count 7 weeks until the 50th, which is 49 days, until the 50th day. On the 50th day, you shall bring another mincha, another meal offering. We craft the mincha chadosh al Hashem, a new meal offering. Mi meishveisechem tovi alechem tenufa shtayim shnei asreinim seiles tiena. You shall bring a meal offering of bread from Eretz Yisrael. There shall be 2 loaves, chometz te'afema, and they shall be baked into chometz. Bikurim l'Hashem, they shall be the first to Hashem. And then again, the Torah says that there are various sacrifices that are brought together with this. And now, further down on Pasuk Chof Aleph, Ukrosim be'etzem ayim azem mikra kodesh, yelochem. On that day, on that 50th day, you shall declare another Yantif. Kol meleches avoda leisasu, you shall not do any types of work. Chukas elam bechol meishveisechem ledeiresechem. This shall be a statute forever in all of your dwelling places for all of your generations. As mentioned, there are a number of mitzvahs that we learn from these psukim, and I'd like to mention this evening seven of them. Firstly, we learn the mitzvah of Ktziras Ha'emer. That's the cutting of the measure of grain, which was done Mimacharis HaShabbos, on the day after the first day of the Yontif of Pesach. It was actually cut, it could be cut in the evening or the following day, but it was a mitzvah min amufcha, preferably it was to be cut that night. And what was cut? Seorim. What it tells us, it was barley. This was the first barley crop. Second mitzvah, havoza emel mizbeach. This was made into a meal offering and brought to the Beis HaMikdash, to the altar. It was the barley was taken, it was mixed with oil, it was made baked. And what was done with it? There was a kemitza, a small portion of it went on the Mizbeach on the altar and was burnt, and the rest of it went to the Kahanim. It was eaten by the Kahanim. A third mitzvah is the Issur of Ktziras HaChodesh. There was a prohibition, we learn here, that since it says that this shall be Reishis Ketzirchem, the first of your cuttings of the year, that we were not allowed to cut any grain from the Chameshis Minei Tfuah, from the five major grains, which is your wheat and barley, and your spelt, and rye, and oats. Five major grains were not allowed to be cut in Eretz Yisrael until this barley was cut, in order that this barley shall be Reishis Ketzirchem, the first of your cuttings. So this is a third mitzvah, the Issur Ketziras Ha'emer, where one was prohibited to cut Ketziras HaChodesh, one was prohibited to cut any of the new grains of the season. Incidentally now, not incidentally, this is important, we live here in the southern hemisphere, it's Israel's in the northern hemisphere. So Pesach is already well into the spring. It's Chag HaOviv, where your first crops are coming up already. By the time Pesach came, so it was called Chag HaOviv because the first crops started to be ready to be cut, and your barley is a much hardier plant than the other grains, so therefore it was the first to come up after the winter months. Then another mitzvah is Issur Achilas HaChodesh, that the Torah here states Lechem Keli VeKarmel LeSeichlu, that we were not allowed to eat any of the new crops until this mincha, this meal offering, was brought, cut and brought. A fifth mitzvah was Yisfaltim Lachem, that from the time this was cut that evening, we start to count up to 50 days. 7 weeks, 7 days, 7 weeks, 49 days. This is the mitzvah of Sfiras Ha'emer, the counting of the Omer. Now, the word Sfiras Ha'emer is a little misleading. See, the counting of the Omer doesn't mean it was counting the Omer. It was mean counting from the Omer. The Omer was brought only once. It wasn't brought every day during the Sfira. And we didn't count the Omer. This is just a label we give it. But it meant the counting from the Omer, from the time that the Omer was supposed to be cut, which was the night after the first day of Yom Tov. We were commanded to start counting 7 full weeks of 7 days each. And that's why This is when we start counting the Omer. And by us here in Chutz Lo'aretz, it's the beginning of the second day of Yom Tov. Then, when we finished counting the Omer, there was a further mitzvah, on the 50th day, we will bring a mincha chadosh el Hashem, it states, a new meal offering. This was wheat. By that time, as 7 weeks has progressed, so the wheat plant in Eretz Yisrael was ready for harvesting. So the first harvest of the wheat would take place then, and on the 50th day we would cut it before, but on the 50th day it would be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, and again it was what would be done with it? It would be baked into two loaves, large loaves of bread. This was from the wheat, and chometz te'ofeno, and it would be bread of chometz. And these two loaves were given, one was given to the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, it would be for him to eat, and the other was given to the other Kohanim. And this was called Bikurim, the first, because firstly it was the first of the wheat crop, and secondly it was supposed to be the first of the menoches, the first of all of the meal offerings that were brought during the year from the new grains. And then we have a seventh mitzvah, Ukrosim Betzem Ayim Hazeh Mikra Kodesh. That 50th day when this was brought, this was to be declared a yantif, and that's the yantif that is known as Chag HaShavuos. And the reason why it's called Chag HaShavuos refers to weeks, because this was after the counting of 7 weeks, and this is also what is known as Chag Matan Torah Seinu. It was the yantif of the giving of our Torah. So we have seven mitzvahs. I'll just briefly summarize them again. The mitzvah of the cutting of the omer, of the first measure of the barley. The mitzvah of bringing this, making it into a meal offering, and bringing it into the Beis HaMikdash, and bringing it to the altar. The prohibition of cutting any other grains before doing this. The prohibition of eating any of the new grains until this was done. The counting from that time of 7 weeks, Sfiras HaEmet. Then, on the 50th day, a new meal offering was brought, and this time it was brought from the first wheat crop, and it was baked into two loaves, and it was chometz. And then, the seventh mitzvah, that on that day was declared to be the yantif, and that's the yantif of Shavuos. Again, Shavuos, according to the Torah, is only one day. Chutz Lo'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we keep it for 2 days. Now we can ask some questions here. One question is, this mincha that was brought, the first one, on Pesach, which was from barley. Generally, all of the menoches were from wheat, because wheat is not only the best crop, wheat is what is known as the grain for people to eat. Barley, people can eat barley also, but that's not their main sustenance. Barley is the main sustenance for animals to eat. So one observation we can make here is that why was this omer brought from the barley crop on Pesach? Second question, what is the purpose of the counting? And why do we count 7 weeks, 7 days, 49? And then we declare the yantif on the 50th day. What is the significance of the counting and of those particular numbers? Third question. All of the Yom Tovim have their own particular time. Pesach, the Torah says, must come on the 15th of Nisan, Chamish Osor. Sukkot must come on the 15th of Tishrei, Chamish Osor. Rosh Hashanah states on the first day of Tishrei, Yom Kippur, on the 10th day of Tishrei. So all of the Yom Tovim have their own particular times. Here by Shavuos, it doesn't have its own time. The fact is, there's even a question in the Gemara on what day did it fall. Okay. But rather, it's given a time of how many days after Pesach and after the bringing of the Omer. So its whole, the specific time for Shavuos is based on how many days and weeks after Pesach. Why doesn't it have its own independent time? It's for this reason also. No, one minute, yeah. And especially, it's the Chag Matan Teresenu, the time of the giving of the Torah. All right. Another question. The loaves which were brought on Shavuos, they came from wheat, which we said is the main sustenance of man. Well, why was it changed? If we started with barley, why do we change to wheat now? Secondly, it was made into chometz. Now this certainly is a deviation, because as a general rule, we were never allowed to bring chometz on the Mizbeach. The fact is, we never brought chometz on the altar itself. That was not permitted. And as a general rule, all of the menoches, the meal offerings, were all matzah. They were not chometz. One of your exceptions is the shtei alechem, these two loaves that came on Shavuos. They didn't go on the altar. As mentioned, they were given to the kohanim to eat in their entirety. The mincha of the Omer, some of it went on the altar. That was matzah, was not chometz. But still, why chometz? And chometz is something that we usually like to keep distant from, like on Pesach and in the base of Mikdosh. So one would think certainly on the Chag Matan Teresenu, on the Yantav of the giving of the Torah. So these are the questions that we're asking. The Marami Prague in his Sefer Tferes Yisrael, Perichofei, he elaborates on this whole subject. And let me quote some of the principles which he mentions. Pesach was the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. The going out of Egypt was not something in its own, for its own right. In the Torah it states many times, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzeisi Eschem, Ani Hashem Elokechem, Asher Otzeisi Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Liyos Lachem Le'elokim. The going out of Egypt had a further purpose. I took you out of Egypt in order that I shall become your God. Or, for example, in Parshas Va'era, Perek Vav, Posuk Zayin, by the Dalad L'Sheina Shel Geula, the four expressions of redemption, V'lakachti Eschem Li La'om, V'yishi Lachem Le'elokim. I am taking you out, I am freeing you from Egypt, in order that you shall be my nation, and I shall be your God. Or, for example, when Hashem appeared to Moshe in Parshas Shemosh, the first time, by the snare, by the burning bush, he told him, this is in Shmai's Gimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, V'hitzi'achu asa'am mi'mitzrayim, tavdun es elokim al ha'or hazeh. When you will take out the nation from Egypt, you will bring them to this mountain. They were speaking right on by Har Sinai. You will bring them to this mountain to serve me. Here they will receive the Torah. The Yitziah, the Exodus, was not a purpose in its own right. It was rather a heksha. It was rather to bring them to a higher purpose, and that was to bring them to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. There were 7 weeks between the going out of Egypt and the receiving of the Torah. 49 days, and on the 50th day they received the Torah. What did this represent? When we went out of Egypt, the sages say we were like a tinaik, like a child, a baby which was just born. This means we started to develop physically. When a baby is born, he has a physical body. Further development takes place later. Only as he reaches maturity, as he reaches adulthood. We were like a tinaik, we were like a newborn baby when we came out of Egypt. We were born physically. Now, in order to come to Torah and to mitzvahs, you need a good body. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the level of Torah and mitzvahs to man. So you need a good body. It has to be a strong body. It has to be a healthy body. And has to be a good foundation with sanctity. So this is what Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, represented. Where Klal Yisrael were starting to develop themselves physically, where they would be strong and good and start to sanctify their body, which later will be able to embody the Torah and the mitzvahs, which they would receive at Har Sinai. The giving of the Torah on Shavuos, 7 weeks later, that was the maturity of adulthood, where they received their intellect. They received their ultimate intelligence. They received their spirit in totality. We count every day of the Sefiras HaEmor because every day Klal Yisrael grew another step. Every day they reached a new level in their maturity towards this Shlemus, towards this totality which they would come to, where they would be the Od Masholem that would embody both this world and the spiritual world. So this is why we count every day. We were commanded, Usfartim Lochem, you shall count Shiva Shvuah, 7 weeks, 7 days, 49 days. What's the significance of that particular number? The significance of seven, this we have in the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in 7 days. There were the Shesh Yemei Melacha, 6 days of work, and then Shabbos, the Mashvi, the seventh day he rested. That also was part of the creation, the sages tell us. Because after he created the world in 6 days, it was still lacking. It was lacking manucha. It was lacking shalom. There was no rest. There was no peace in the world. Bo Shabbos, bo manucha, bo shalom. When Shabbos came, it brought peace and it brought rest to the world. So he created this world in 7 days. The seven times seven that we count, 7 weeks, 7 days, 49, this encompasses all the levels of this world. The Klal Yisrael grew every day to the entire level that this world encompasses. Now they were ready to receive the Torah. But they couldn't receive the Torah on the 49th day. We were told B'yema Chamishim on the 50th day to declare the Yom Tov, and that's when we received the Torah. Why not on the 49th day?
because the level of Torah is not from this world. The 6 days of Malach of work are from this world. Shabbos also became a part of this world, but not Torah. Torah was created before the world. It states that Torah was created Tov Tov Kuf Ein Dalet 700, excuse me, the Torah was created 974 generations before the creation of the world. The creation of the world. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah 1,000 years before it was given, 1,000 generations before it was given. And it was given 26 generations after the world was created. So that's how the Gemara calculates when the Torah was created. So we see Torah preceded the world by almost 1,000 generations. So it can't be something from this world. It comes from a much higher level. So even though we, Klal Yisrael, as they came out of Egypt, and they grew and they grew until they encompassed all the levels of this world, now they were ready to receive the Torah, but not on the 49th day. The next day, that's when they were ready to receive the Torah. What was significant about the next day? There's two reasons. First of all, the next day was the 50th day. The sages tell us that there are Hamishim Sho'orim, 50 gates, till one reaches the gate of Torah. This was the Shar HaHamishim, the 50th gate. There's another reason. Because the 50th day is already into the 8th week. The level of Torah is always signified by the level of 8, not of 7. This world is 7. Torah and mitzvahs is 8. Like, for example, we see that David HaMelech, he wanted to praise the Torah with every letter of the alphabet. So he wrote a special chapter in Tehillim, which with every letter of the alphabet he praises the Torah, and with every letter he praises the Torah 8 times. So therefore they counted 7 weeks 7 days, 49. Then they had gone through the entire level, all of the levels of this world. Now they were ready to come to Torah. So on the 50th day, they must declare it as a Yantif, and that was the day of the giving of the Torah. Now, we can understand why, in the beginning, the first meal offering was that of barley. And in the end, on Shavuos, the meal offering was that of wheat. Because barley is the best nourishment for physical man. Wheat is the best nourishment for man who is both physical and spiritual. The Gemara brings, says that a person, when he eats wheat, he's nourishing the brain. Actually, today, nutritionists find that there are certain foods that bring good nourishment to the brain. He's able to think much better. The Gemara says that's with wheat. There's another Gemara that says that a child doesn't start to talk until he starts to eat bread. An animal that his physical component is far greater than that of his spiritual. So for him, the best food is barley. man, though, who is especially Israel, that's going to be Mekabel Torah, their staff of life is wheat. Therefore, Pesach, which represented the early growth of Klal Yisrael. And how does a teenage, how does a child grow? He grows first physically. We had to sanctify man from his physical perspective. Therefore, the korban, the sacrifice, was saorin, was barley. But after he went through all of the 7 weeks, and now he's ready to receive Torah, so now he brought the first grains, not of the barley, but of the wheat. Now, one final question remains, and that is, why chometz? On Shavuos, the wheat that was brought was chometz. Chometz te'ofenu. It should be baked into chometz, it should rise. It should be leavened. And that's something which is very strange. As mentioned, all of the meal offerings, as a general principle, were matzah. They were unleavened, not leavened. And on Pesach, we know we stay away from the chometz. Sorry, this was Shavuos, but one would think that we're talking about the giving of the Torah, so we should stay away from chometz. Chometz always signified by Israel something which you should keep your distance from at certain times, like we see on Pesach, or we see in the Beis Hamikdash with all of the sacrifices. So why now all of a sudden on Shavuos is bedavka? You should bring chometz. In this lies a very great principle and a very great insight into what Torah actually is. The Maharal says as follows. He says, what's so bad about chometz? Why sometimes do we distance ourselves from it? There's nothing wrong with chometz. But chometz represents the Elam HaGashmi, the physical world. How? Why does it represent the physical world? Two reasons. Firstly, what creates chometz? You take grain and you grind it into flour and you knead it with water and you bake it, you have a matzah. You take grain and you grind it into flour and you knead it with water and you let it stand. You don't have to put any additives in it. You let it stand. It rises and you bake it and you have chometz. So what is creating? What force is creating chometz? Same ingredients? Exactly. It's actually the force of time. The whole difference between the chometz and the matzah is the time element. If you bake it right away, you use flour and water alone, then it's matzah. If you use flour and water and you put some time elements in it, then it becomes chometz. Time is one of the greatest forces of this world. Where does time come from? Time comes from the sun. And of course, Baruch Hu made the sun. The Mor HaGodol, he's known as the king of this world. Because time is the calculation of movement. We count from the time a person is born, his days start ticking off. The minute he's born, his minutes start ticking off. From the second he's born, his seconds start ticking off. You can't say, well, I'll start timing myself a little different, a little later. You know, I'll set my watch a little slower and wait till I'm 5 years old before I'll start counting my birthdays. It won't work. And what ticks off? What ticks off is the cycles of the sun and the earth and the solar system. See? How many days have gone by? How many fractions of a day has gone by? How many months have gone by? That's the cycle of the moon, which is the reflection of the sun. how many years have gone by, which is your solar orbits. And time is something that a person can, no matter who he is, cannot free himself from it. He cannot say, I don't like time. I'm not going to have any clocks in my house. He's still under the force of time. You want to free yourself from time, you have to stop the sun. Now we can understand the greatness of Mason Yeshua that we're able to stop the sun. You have to stop creation. But as, and that's why creation stopped. But in, otherwise, creation waits for no man. And the sun is the force which guides it all. He controls it. And that's why he was called the Mor HaGadol. He's called the Shemesh. He's the Shamesh. He's the great servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ruling this world. Someone is stronger than the sun, he can be stronger than the force of time. But the sun was only created for this world. His sovereignty, his parameter is this world. He has no sovereignty whatsoever beyond this world. Therefore, Shlema Melech said, Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. Everything that is here is here. It's all beneath the sovereignty of the sun. But the Gemara says, Aval Lamala Min HaShemesh, Kodim HaShemesh, but above the sun, or before the sun, there is plenty. In other words, the higher worlds, they're free from all of this. This world is subservient, is subjected to this force of time. So therefore, time is part and parcel, which is impossible to remove, but from the physical world. And that's what makes chometz. That's why chometz represents this world, where this world has influenced it to become chometz. If there was no principle of time, and time is an imperative ingredient of chometz, then there couldn't be chometz. The significance of matzah is where we try to free something from time. The chipozon, like when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt, it was bechipozon. It was so quick, and it came from lamala min HaShemesh, it came from above the sun. He freed us from time. So that's what the matzah represents. There is another significance, also very deep. But let me just make mention. The Gemara brings that there was a certain leather that was tanned in a very primary way, very simple way. And that's known as matzah. Matzah is made of the most basic ingredients. You have your flour, you have your water. That's it. Grain and water. So it's made of the most basic ingredients. Chometz already is where you're bringing other elements into the matzah, into the grain. You're adding. There's a growth. You're adding time and you get a growth. You get a growth of chometz. That also represents this world. Because from where the world was created, the higher worlds, there it came from a single source. When it comes into this world, it grew. It mixed with other elements and grew. It would be like you have this single cell, and then you have the complexity of many cells meshing and evolving and developing together. It's like, for example, the embryo. Its initial formation could be a single cell. But then comes the complexity of millions and billions of cells evolving, developing, meshing together. The single cell actually represents the bridge where it comes from the higher worlds. The complexity that represents what happened in this world. So there again, Chometz is representative of the physical world, while Matzah is representative of one endeavoring to free himself from the physical world. On Pesach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu freed us from the physical world. We see he did. He freed us from the forces of physical taskmasters, Mitzrayim, and even freed us from the forces of physical nature, with all of the 10 plagues and with the splitting of the sea. And we were lifted out of this world to him. So therefore, we celebrate this by the distancing ourselves, freeing ourselves from chometz, and eating matzah. And this is the same in the Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash, we reach up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole purpose of Korban. Korban is called from the word korav, korev, to come close to Hashem. Reach nicheach, eila l'Hashem. Korban goes up to Hashem, we're reaching up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Beis Hamikdash, in that place in Eretz Yisrael, was freed from the physical forces of the world. How do we know that? We have a mission in Masechet Avos. It states, Asor Nisim B'chol Yom. Every day there were 10 permanent miracles, contrary to physical nature, that took place in the Beis Hamikdash, in Har Habayis, in Yerushalayim. So one would think then on Shavuot, certainly, we must do the same thing. We must reach up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and free ourselves from this world. Now, Shavuos was just the opposite. It states, Moshe went up to the mountain, but Vayerer Hashem ala hor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down to the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came down from the heavens to the mountain, and it states the mountain was full of flames and smoke and thunder because HaKadosh Baruch Hu came onto the mountain. He brought his Torah down to the world. Torah is not where one has to go up into the heavens to reach it. It's not in the heavens. Torah has such enormous strength where it comes down into the physical world. And right there into the lowest levels of the physical world, it brings its light. Pesach, we had to go up to find the light. The Beis Hamikdash, you had to go up to find the light. But the light of Torah comes down into this world. And therefore, for the level of Torah, one doesn't have to leave this world. He has to bring the Torah into this world. And therefore there is no purpose for us to distance ourselves from this world at the time of the giving of the Torah. And therefore the meal offering, which expressed this, was Chometz Te'ofenu. Chometz. And the Torah will come and sanctify it. Manal says this is what is meant. We see when Moshe went up to the mountain to receive the Torah, the angels came and they were outraged. They came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they said, Chem de Genuza, your most treasured belonging, which was created almost 1,000 generations before the world. You're going to give it to Bnei Odom, to human beings, earthlings. and they wanted to burn Moshe with the fire that came from their nostrils. So Moshe went to grab onto the Kisei HaKovod, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was terrified from them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry about them. Let them enter into debate with you. Go ahead. Answer them. So Moshe said to them, what is written in the Torah? So they answered, lacing knife, shouldn't steal. He said, what do you need the Torah for? You have money. You have desires to steal. On earth is where we have desires to steal. On earth is where we have money and physical possessions. There's where we need the Torah. Eid Maximo. What else is written? He said, you must not serve idolatry. He says, you're interested in idolatry up here? There's the idolatry. That's where we need the Torah. On earth. What else is written? They said, Lesinov, you shouldn't take someone else's wife. You have wives. You're interested in such things. There's where we need it. And finally they agreed. The place of the Torah is there. So what do we see? The place of the Torah is not away from the world. The place of the Torah is not where there are no earthly desires. Where there's only matzah. The place of the Torah is in the chometz. But its light is so strong that it can come into the greatest chometz and be makadosh it, and sanctify it. And therefore they gave Moshe the Torah, and they each gave him a bracha, they each gave him secrets to take with them. And the Maral explains, he says that's what the Gemara means in Masechta Kedushin. Gemara brings and the Aflamad on the base. Sam Tam Nimshla Teirah B'Sam Chaim. The Torah is called, the Torah is like a medication. Moshe Lodom Shehikas B'nei Maka Gedela O'miniach Reti Agaba. An example, a person's son injured himself. Very, very bad injury. The doctor put on a whole plaster. He put on a whole plaster with medication and so forth. And he said, B'ni, my son, the father, as long as this plaster is on you, then you don't have to worry. You can eat what you want. You can bathe in cold water. You can bathe in hot water. Nothing will bother you. But if you take the plaster off, oh, then it can become infected. And one thing can lead to another, inflamed, and who knows what will happen. So is with the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Barasi Yetzirah. I created the Yetzirah, the forces of evil, Ubarasi Leitera Tablet. But I created the Torah as a spice, a medication or a spice which will satisfy it. As long as you constantly delve into the depths of the Torah and you grow in Torah, you don't have to worry about the Yetzirah. You don't have to run from it. If you do not grow in Torah, then you have to be careful of the Yetzer Hara. So what do we see? Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't say, run from the Yetzer Hara. No. He said, learn Torah. Then you don't have to run from the Yetzer Hara. If you're not learning Torah, then you do. That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says that if a person all of a sudden feels the force of the Yetzer Hara coming over to him, it says, Moshchehu lebeis ha-medrash. Should bring it into the Beis HaMedrash. Doesn't say he should run away from it. should bring it into the Beis HaMedrash and learn. A greater secret is meant by that. He should bring it into the Beis HaMedrash and even let that Yetzer Hara motivate him to learn. Because the Torah will be matare that also. The Torah will sanctify that also. Don't have to run from it. Sit down and learn with it. Ha-mo'or shebay ma'achse lemutav. The light of Torah will take care of everything. That's if he's learning Torah. If he's not, well, then it's a different problem. So therefore, this is the reason why this last mincha, which was brought on Shavuos, was chometz, because Shavuos was the time of the celebration, not of lifting oneself out of this world into the heavens, but rather of bring Vayered Hashem al Ahor. But Hashem came down on the mountain, bringing what Moshe did was brought the Torah from the heavens into the world, into the earth. So it was a celebration of the Chometz. That's why the Gemara also brings in Pesachim. The Gemara says that every Yantif is a discussion. How should you enjoy the Yantif? Because it states it's a Yantif to Hashem. And it also states it's a yantif to you. So some say you should divide it half for davening and half for learning, and the other half you should eat and drink. Another Tana, another opinion is that you can either dedicate it all to Hashem or you could dedicate it all to yourself. But the Gemara says, on Atzeres and Shavuos, everybody agrees. Everyone agrees that Vina Nami Lochem, that one is not allowed to only dedicate it to learning in Hashem, but he has to partake and indulge in this world also. We would think just the opposite, because Torah has the power where it can come and make mitzvahs and sanctity from the eating and drinking of this world. For example, without Torah. So what is a glass of wine? What is a glass of whiskey? That's a bar in Hillbrow. With Torah, that becomes Kiddush. That becomes a brocha. That becomes v'somach t'b'chagecho. It's a l'chaim. This is the power of Torah. My Rebbe, Rav Gifter, used to always quote I believe it was the Chavis Alvavus, where he says that a man has to be Reishe Bashamayim, his head has to be in the heavens, but Raglayim Bein Chavris Anoshim, but his feet have to be firmly on the ground in the midst of society. This is what he's referring to. You have to run away from society if you're not in Torah. Then you won't be able to exist without running away from society. Or you'll have to try to crawl into the heavens. But that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He gave Torah to Klal Yisrael so there could be Reishe Bashamayim, their heads would be in the heavens, but Raglayim Bein Chevres Anoshim, but their feet would be right in the midst of society. So, this is an explanation in these mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs that we mentioned in this parsha.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway, 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.